It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
What do you understand and practice when it comes to forgiveness? This is the fourth in the series, Reclaiming Forgiveness. And before launching into an exploration of real or true forgiveness, it's worthwhile asking yourself the question, have you embraced a forgiveness that is a distortion of the real thing? In the previous podcast, we listened as Jesus told us the parable of the prodigal son. It's a story of forgiveness illustrated. Now, how might therapeutic forgiveness revise the story of the prodigal son? Now, remember that therapeutic forgiveness is neither therapeutic, nor is it true or biblical forgiveness. Here's an example of how therapeutic forgiveness seeks to retell the story. It's really a twisted tale. The story would begin the same way. The younger son demands his inheritance from his father. The father was very much alive, and in that culture, as well as ours, such a demand is tantamount to saying, I can't wait for you to die, or I wish you were dead. The father complies with his son's request, and the son leaves home. At this point, the story would take a different turn. The father blames himself for his son's actions and is racked with guilt. He continually asks himself how he failed as a parent. At one point, he locates his son. Early one afternoon, the father makes an unannounced visit to his son's penthouse suite in the big city. Reluctantly, his son, wearing a silk dressing gown, lets his father into the apartment. The conversation is short and strained. The father glances around the spacious room, taking in the empty bottles and the residue of white powder on the glass tabletop. The son says he's fine. On the way back home, the father's heart is heavy. He feels pangs of self-recrimination, loneliness, and the beginnings of bitterness. At times, his feelings are overwhelming, and so he seeks help. At first, he's prescribed an antidepressant, which helps a bit. One person advises him to forgive his son. Asking how to do that, he is told, well, envisage visiting your son and telling him that you forgive him for his rude and unloving demand for his inheritance. Once you've done that in your heart, you will be released from the unpleasant feelings that seem to plague you. It worked for a time. He actually found it easier to try to forget his son so he could get on with the rest of his life. Later, someone counsels him to forgive himself to deal with the unpleasant feelings. At times, memories of his son well up in him. He finds a bit of relief by slipping another check into the mail. The son never returns. The father eventually dies. And that's the end of the therapeutic forgiveness tale. Granted, this retelling is speculative and perhaps a little exaggerated, but it contains elements of the so-called therapeutic that is supplanting biblical or real forgiveness. Don't get me wrong, feelings and emotions are important, but in many ways trying to dull the pain or erase the feelings is like smashing your car's oil warning light. It might get rid of the little light, but it doesn't deal with the real problem. God provides real therapy or healing in a different way, and we'll introduce that in the next podcast. What are the roots and features of this therapeutic approach? Historian, moralist, and social critic Christopher Lash observes that, quote, the contemporary climate is therapeutic, not religious. People today hunger not for a personal salvation, let alone for restoration of an earlier golden age, but for the feeling, the momentary illusion of personal well-being, health, and psychic security, end quote. Theologian J.I. Packer confirms this narcissistic way of the world in the modern West, as he calls it. He refers to it as selfism, or meism. One manifestation of this therapeutic culture is the way in which we attempt to deal with broken relationships and their consequences. So often, the emphasis is on how to reestablish a sense of personal well-being, how I can be feeling better about me. A popular book such as Sidney Simon's Forgiveness, How to Make Peace with Your Past and Get On with Your Life, is fairly representative of this secular mindset of therapeutic forgiveness. Here are three common features of this therapeutic approach. First, the therapeutic approach is self-centered. The focus is on individuals' problems and techniques for solving those problems. Simon's book states that it, quote, is about forgiving the people who hurt you, not as a favor to them, but so you can let go of the pain and get on with your life, end quote. So that the whole process of forgiveness becomes a way to gain, quote, the inner peace you have worked so long and hard to attain, your own healing process, end quote. That's not biblical forgiveness. Second, the therapeutic approach makes God optional. There's no need for God in this therapeutic process. It's not stated that God does not exist or even that he is not important. He's just ignored. God isn't important enough to this approach to matter much at all. The focus is simply something you do for you. The process is about self-healing and inner peace, both of which can be therapeutically attained without God. Third, the therapeutic approach makes reconciliation optional, the rebuilding of the broken relationship. The so-called therapy of forgiveness is aimed at resolving the individual's sense of disappointment or rejection, abandonment, ridicule, humiliation, betrayal, deception, or abuse. Reconciliation with the other person is not important and becomes a choice based upon whether the benefit to self outweighs the cost to self. Unless there is an emotional or economic or other payoff for me, reconciliation to the other person can be avoided. I hope I've got you rethinking what you believe and practice about forgiveness. To encourage you in this process, here are three questions to ask yourself. Number one, is your understanding and practice of forgiveness distorted? Have you embraced some elements of a therapeutic forgiveness? If so, identify what they are. Write them down. As you walk with me through the following podcasts on reclaiming forgiveness, consider whether these elements you have identified should be kept or changed. Do they align with God's way as described in Holy Scripture? The second question to ask yourself is, are you open to change? You may be basing your understanding and practice of forgiveness on resources other than God's holy word, the Bible. A disturbing number of recent Christian books and other resources feature therapeutic forgiveness rather than biblical or true forgiveness. Third, do you want to know God's way toward healing and wholeness? Well, put that way, I suppose it's hard to say no. In the next podcast, I'll introduce you to God's proactive way toward healing and wholeness when relationships have been damaged or broken.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.